Today's daf is Ksuvus daf Tzadi Hey, the last daf in the 10th parak of Maseches Ksuvus. We are holding at the Mishnah on the top of Tzadi Hey Amud Aleph. Today's shiur is sponsored by my aunt and uncle, Jack and Jeanette Blumenkopf, L'zeich HaNishma Shifra Tzipara Bas Chaim Shmuel. I made a mistake, I thought it was 2 days ago shiur that was sponsored by them. It's apparently today's shiur, the Neshama Shavin Aliyah, and we thank the Blumenkopfs very much for the sponsorship. So the Mishnah is going to talk about if you have two wives, which has been the theme of the parak pretty much, was when a man is married to more than one woman and the complications that arise, financial complications, I'm sure there are other complications too, but the financial complications that arise as a result of that. So the Mishnah is going to talk about if a man is married to two women and the first wife says to a lokeach, I'm not going to take away the property that you are buying from my husband. Don't worry, even though it's meshubah to the ksuba, I'm not going to bother you about that property. So is the second wife then allowed to take it? And is the first wife then allowed to take it from the second wife? What's the halacha in terms of that? That's the Mishnah. Then the Gemara is going to have a stira between Mishnayos if a woman is able to say about something that she has given up the rights to that she didn't really mean it, but nachas ruach hasisi lebaili. I was just saying that to make my husband happy. We have a stira between two Mishnayos about that. The Gemara is going to have three approaches to answering that stira between the two Mishnayos. And on the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to talk about whether a Baal Chov is able to take away Nechasim Meshubadim when in a place where there is Nechasim B'nei Chorin, but the Nechasim B'nei Chorin have been destroyed. Normally, if you're owed money, you can't go to properties that have already been sold to other people and take that if the person that owes you the money still has his own properties. But what if those properties have been flooded and they've been destroyed in some way? Can you then go to Nechasim Meshubadim? The Gemara is going to have two rayas about that, and that's going to carry over to Amud Beis. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to talk about if a guy says to a penuya, to a single girl, Nechasai lach, I'm giving you my nechasim, but lachash tamas, after you die, it's going to go to somebody else. He's determining in advance that it's not going to go with normal dina yerusha when she dies. That after she dies, it should go to somebody else. But then in the interim, let's say she sells it, or in the interim, she got married, so her husband earned a right in whatever nechasim she had. So does it still go to Ploni, to this person that he had originally earmarked it for when he first gave it to her? That's going to be pretty much the last discussion in the parak, and then Be'ez Hashem tomorrow we'll start the next parak. So let's begin at the Mishnah. Misha yinasui beiz nashim. A man is married to two wives. Umachar es sadehu, and he sells a field to somebody. So normally, any properties that he owned at the time that he got married are going to be meshubad to the ksuba. So the fact that he sold the field to somebody, that lokeach has to realize that if the man gets divorced or the man dies, the wives could come and take that field away from him. But v'kasva rishona lilokeach, dinu dvar mein li'imach. The first wife wrote to the lokeach, I'm not going to bother you about that field. I'm going to leave you alone about that field. So the halacha is, if the second wife never said that to the lokeach, hashniya motziya mei lokeach. The second wife can go to the lokeach. It's meshubah to her ksuba as well. But here's the thing. A second wife is not allowed to collect from the chasim meshubadim if there's a first wife that should really have the rights over her. So v'rishonim min hashniya, the first wife can then go and take it from the second wife because her shibud predates the shibud of the second wife. But then, if the first wife now has it, the lokeach can go to the first wife and say, you said you're not taking my field. V'alokeach min harishona. And the lokeach can go and take it back from the first wife. V'chozos chalila. And this can keep going in a circle. Achiyasu pshara b'neim. Until they come up with some sort of agreement that they could all be satisfied with. V'chein balchov, v'chein isha balaschov. And you can have a similar chozos chalila situation by a balchov and by a woman who's a balaschov by a ksuba, which the Gemara is going to explain what exactly the details of those cases are, but you could have a similar chazos chalila situation even when you don't have two wives, even when you just have a regular balchov and balaschov. Now, a couple of things over here. First of all, we said that the first wife wrote to the lokeach dinu dvar mein limach, and that's what causes this whole situation. So some of the achronim point out from the fact that the Tana Dafka says that the first wife wrote to the lokeach dinu dvar mein limach, and not that she wrote to the baal dinu dvar mein limach besad dezu. It's not that she wrote to the husband, I'm not going to bother you about this particular field. Sounds like had that been the case, had she written to the husband, she would not be able to take the field away from the second wife, because she was already misalik herself entirely from the field. It's only because she wasn't misalik herself from the field, she was only misalik herself from the lokeach, that we have the situation of chazrus chalila. Meaning, had she said that it's a din in the field, that I'm not going to have any shaychus to the field, period, then when the second wife collects that field, the first wife should not have any recourse to be able to collect from the second wife. She's already been misalik herself. It's only because she wasn't misalik herself from the field. So din dvar mainly imach. She was misalik herself from the person, from the lokeach. So now that the second wife is the one that's in possession of the field, the first wife is going to take it from the second wife. So that's point one on the Mishnah. Second point on the Mishnah, this whole din of chazrus chalila. So Rashi on Amud Beis is going to say that the second one takes the field from the lokeach, actually takes it, and the first one actually takes it from her, chazrus chalila, and meaning that it literally gets taken away one from the other, and Bezin is going to continually support the collection of this field one from the other until they come up with some sort of pshara between them. But the Ritva himself disagrees with Rashi. The Ritva writes that why should we be matriach Bezin for no reason, to keep on supporting this one being torah from that one being torah from that one being, no, chazrus chalila doesn't mean that we're going to allow this to happen. It means that when the wife number two first comes to Bezin and says, I want that field, I want to take that field from the lokeach, we call everyone together and we say, okay, this is going to be ridiculous. This is, wife number two is going to take it, then wife number one is going to take it, then the lokeach is going to take it. So we arrange it in advance. We prearrange it to make sure that it doesn't waste Bezin's time and everyone's energy. So Chazus Chalil is not necessarily literal. That's how the Ritva understands. Now we make the pshara in advance. And the third point of the Mishnah, the Chemda Shlomo asks, when he said the Lokech takes from the Rishon, the Lokech will then take the field back from the first wife. Chemda Shlomo says, how can the Lokech take the field from the first wife? The second wife took it from the Lokech has no koach in that field anymore. He doesn't have a chelik in that field anymore. And even if you're going to say that he has a zechus in the field, but once the first wife took it from the second wife, it was because of her shibud. How could he take it away from her? Meaning whatever she wrote to him was only that din v'dvarim ainli to collect from you, but she didn't collect from him. She collected from the second wife. Why is this fair that the Lokech can go take it from the Isha Rishona? She didn't violate her agreement. Her agreement was that I'm not going to take it from you. She didn't take it from him. She took it from the second wife. So some of the Achronim explain based on Rav Elchanan writes in Kovitz Shiurim that a Balchov Mu'uchar Shakadam V'gava, when we say that a later Balchov who collects prior to a previous Balchov, to an earlier Balchov, when we say Masha Gava Lo Gava, that the collection is invalid, it means that there was mamish no kinyan at all. Now over here, the second wife is a Lokech, is a Balchov Mu'uchar, that's Kadam V'gava. She has a later Shibud, and she's collecting first. So since she's collecting first, if we hold that Masha Gava Lo Gava, that means, according to Rav Elchanan, there's no kinyan at all, which means it's still really in the possession of the lokeach. So the woman Taka is taking it from the lokeach, even though physically, certainly if you understand like Rashi, that it's physically being awarded to this one then to that one, but the awarding of the field to the second wife from the lokeach, retrospectively we look at it and we say, no, that wasn't actually valid, that was totally invalid, the lokeach is still the rightful owner. So Mela, you're actually taking it from the lokeach, not from the second wife. Okay, says Gemara, "Chikas v'loi mayhavi." Why does it matter that she writes to him that dinu dvarim einli imach? Is that a binding lashon when a person says dinu dvarim einli? Is that really enough of a lashon to actually be misalik oneself entirely from the field? Vatanya, we have a brayse that says otherwise. Brayse says, "Ha'omer lechavero dinu dvarim einli al sadazu ve'einli esek ba v'yadi misalak semana." If a person wants to use any of these lashonos, whether he says dinu dvarim einli, he says einli esek ba, he says yadi misalak semana, either way, lo amar klum, doesn't mean anything. Just saying those words doesn't accomplish anything. So why in our Mishnah are we assuming that lashon actually binds the woman not to collect the field from the lokeach? Answers the Gemara, Hacha b'mayaskinan b'shakanu miyada. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where she made a kinyan, where it wasn't just that she said these words of Din Udvar mainly, but there was an actual kinyan that was made. And if there was a kinyan that was made, then that's binding. It's not the words alone that are binding. Frankly, Gemara, still, v'chikanu miyada mayhava. Tema nachas ruacha sisi lebayli. Even if she'd made a kinyan, why can't she just claim that that kinyan shouldn't be binding either, because she was only making that kinyan to make her husband happy? Here her husband wants to sell a field. There's a lokech buying, paying good money for this field, and the husband wants to look good to the lokech. The husband doesn't want the lokech to have to lose this field. He wants his word to mean something, that he's selling a field. So the woman, as a show of support for her husband, says, you know what, I'm not going to be toref this field from the lokuchos. But maybe she was just saying that as a show of support for her husband, to make her husband happy for a shalom bayis issue. But she wasn't really pleased to give up her rights to the field. Milo Tanan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah after all that lakach mina ish v'chazar v'lakach mina isha, that if someone pays good money for a field from a husband and then he gets the wife to agree as well, he buys it from the wife as well, mekcho batel, his mekach is not a valid mekach, meaning the even b'chay abal, the mekach is batel. The woman can say that alma yichol isha tomer nachas ruach asisi lebayli. The woman is able to say that I was just trying to make my husband happy, but I didn't really mean it. So why over here is it any different? Even with Kanum Yadav, shouldn't she be able to say that Nachas Ruach Asisi Lebaili? So the Gemara is going to have three answers to this question. Again, a stira that in our mission it seems that once it's kanum yada, that you can no longer, the woman is not able to say nachas ruach asisi lebayli, that she was just doing it to make her husband happy. Yet we have another mishnah that says that she can say, we have a mishnah meseches gittin meseches babasra, that she can say nachas ruach asisi lebayli. Now Rabbeinu Yohanan writes that even though in general the rule is when a person is chayiv in something again against his ratzon, he has to give him a da'a, meaning, in generally speaking, this idea of nachas ruach asis l'bayli l'chor is a very big chiddush. Because generally speaking, if you feel that you're being forced into some sort of kinyan, and you're being forced into some sort of deal, the only way to get out of that deal, to make that deal, that kinyan, not binding, is if prior to making the kinyan, you tell someone in advance, you tell two edim in advance, I'm hereby giving a moda'a that this kinyan is not something that I have das for, it's something that I'm being forced into. You generally have to do that bifnei edim. That's a Gemara Maseches Baba Basra Daf Mem. Moda'a bifnei shnayim, that you need to go to two edim and issue a moda'a. So why over here can a woman just say, no, nachas ruach asis l'bayli, after the fact, after the kinyan's already made? I was just doing it for nachas ruach lebayli. Why isn't she required to give a regular moda'a? So it could be that when it's a marriage, when it's a husband-wife relationship, we don't expect her to give a moda'a because we understand that she's afraid that the husband's going to find out about that moda'a, and that's going to ruin the shalom bayis, and it's going to ruin the whole idea of the nachas ruach asis lebayli, which was just to make her husband happy, was to increase the shalom bayis. So by a married woman, apparently, the Rabbeinu Yonason writes, according to the Shittim Kubetzes, that she doesn't have to issue such a moda'a. Now, but we do see from here that since the woman says that she's maskim to the kinyan only so that the husband shouldn't get angry at her, the kinyan is going to be batel. So ask the Rashbam, wait a second, Rashbam in Babasra Dav Mem Tesem Beis points out, the Gemara over there in Babasra writes that if a person is forced into selling something and then they sell it, the mechira is valid. Tal yuha v'zavin, zvina zvini. If someone is forced into selling something and they do sell it, even though it was only because of an ones that they had, that they were being forced into it, that they were gomer das to be mocher, but we assume that creates a gemiras das, that being forced into doing it creates a gemiras das where they're actually interested in then selling it. So why is it any different over here? She's saying nachas ruach asisi lebayli. Yeah, but maybe that should be a binding kinyan, because true, it was the shalom bayis consideration that forced her into selling it, but at the end of the day, she actually sold it. So the Rashbam suggests that over here it's not such an ones, and that's why she's not gomer bedaita to make such a kinyan. That it's not as big of an ones. No one's actually forcing her to do it. It's her own psychological considerations that are forcing her to do it. The husband never forced her to do it. The husband just made a sale, and she just wants to show support to the husband. In the case of a basra, someone's actually pressuring her to tell you of his oven. Literally means they hang her up and they say, "We're not letting you down until you agree that you're gonna sell it." The Ramban just asks them, "Why is it that the mekach is batal if she's maskim to the mechira not because of ones, but we assume that there's a gemiras das? So why is it the mekach is batal?" So Avnimulum suggests that according to the Rashbam, the mekach is batal because there's an umdina berura that she only signed to create shalom bayis, and that's why the mekach is gonna be batal. That she only signed to create a sense of shalom bayis, and the Avnimulum adds that that's the reason the Ravid holds that if Niskarsha and Nisalmina, the Mekach is batal because over the you don't have the reason of Shalom Bayis anymore in that situation. But back to our Gemara, we had a stira over here. In our Mishnah, it sounds like if a woman says Dinu Dvarim Einli, and she makes a kinyan to that effect, so it's effective, she can no longer go after the Lokeach for his field. Yet on the other hand, we have another Mishnah that sounds like that a woman is able to say Nachas Ruach Asisi the Bayli, that it's not effective to say Dinu Dvarim Einli. She's only saying it because of Nachas Ruach. So the Gemara's going to have three answers. Answer number one, Am Rabbi Zera, Am Rav Chisa Lo Kasha, Ha Rabbi Meir, Ha Rabbi Yehuda. It's not a stira between two Mishnais, it's a machlokas between two Tanayim. To Tanya, we have a brisa as follows, Chasav L'Rishon V'lo Chasmalo. If one wrote nechasim to one party and the wife didn't sign on to it, l'sheni v'chasmalo, but then he wrote it to another party and the wife did sign on to it, meaning she acknowledged the mecher and she supported the mecher, Ivduk Subasa Divra Meir. Rameir says she loses out the right to, if there's no B'nei Chorin, there's no Nechasa B'nei Chorin to collect from, she loses the right to the Ksuba. Because the first guy that bought the Nechasa Meshubadim, that bought property from the husband, can say, Hinachti Lach Makom, I didn't buy the last property. There was more property left by your husband when I purchased this. And the second guy will say, but you already signed that you're not interested, that you approved of that sale, and that you're not going to take this property from me. So Rameir says, she tackled loses her entire ksuba. Rav Yehuda Omer Yecholi Shetomer Nachas Ruach Hasisi Lebali Atem Alechem Alai. She has the ability to say, no, when I supported my husband's second sale, I was just Nachas Ruach Hasisi Lebali. I wasn't, I didn't really mean it, and therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says she can go and she can collect. So don't you see, it's a machlok, Rabbi Yehuda, that a mayor holds a woman has no claim of Nachas Ruach Hasisi Lebali, and that's in line with our Mishnah. And Rabbi Yehuda says a woman does have a claim of Nachas Ruach Hasisi Lebaili, v'Rebbe Sasam Lahacha K'Rebbe Meir, v'Sasam Lahasam K'Rebbe Yehuda. And Rebbe wrote two Stam Mishnais. One Stam Mishnah conforms with Shitas Rebbe Meir, and the other one goes like Shitas Rebbe Yehuda. Now the Hagos Mitzvah Esan in the back of the Gemara says, according to Rebbe Meir, Ivduk Subasa. Rebbe Meir is the one that said previously in Daphne Vav that a woman is not able to be Mochel or Ksuba because anyone who's Masna al Mashkasa B'Torah is to know a Batel. So you're not allowed to set up an arrangement whereby you lose the ksuba, because if you set up such an arrangement is against the dinei Torah, because the din in the Torah is that you have to have a ksuba. So he suggests that the woman is not being mochel the ksuba, she's only being mochel the shibud, meaning if the husband had b'nei chorin, as Rashi points out over here, if the husband had nechasim b'nei chorin, certainly she would collect from the nechasim b'nei chorin. She's just being mochel the fact that there's a shibud nechasim on the ksuba. That's not being masal mashkas b'torah, that's not against any din da'oraisa. But the ksuba itself, she ain't a chinami, does not have the ability to be mochel the shibud itself. So that was all answer number one, was that the stira between two mishnayos can simply be answered that it's not a stira, it's a machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Rav Papa, answer number two, begrusha v'divrei akol. That we're talking about a case of a grusha, and then everyone could agree. Our mission is when she's a grusha, and then she says to the lokeach that dinu dvar mainly. So clearly, that's where she loses the right to say nachas ruach hasisi the baili. Meaning, everyone would agree to what it says in our Mishnah. third approach, Ravashi Amar, Kula Rabbi Meir hi. Everyone agrees to Rabbi Meir that a woman is not able to say Nachas Ruach Hasisi Lebaili, Va'ad Kalokam Rabbi Meir Hasam, Ela B'shnei Lekuchos. Why is it that Rabbi Meir says over there that she's not able to say Nachas Ruach Hasisi Lebaili? That's because there were Shnei Lekuchos. The Amalai Isa de Nachas Ruach Avadit Lekama, de Nachas Ruach Avadit Lekama Yibayelach Lemevid. Because the first Lokach, when there's Shnei Lekuchos, and the first Lokach who bought a field from the husband, the woman did not support that sale. And it was only the second Lokach that bought a field from the husband where the woman was chasmala, where she supported that sale. So the guy could say to her, if you really were only making Nachas Ruach to your husband, well then why didn't you do the Nachas Ruach on the first sale? So it's muchach from your actions that you're not really just doing Nachas Ruach, that you really meant it. And that's why Ivduk Subasa in that case. Meaning even a mayor would agree that normally a woman could say Nachas Ruach Hasisa Lebaili. Normally a woman could say when she was supporting her husband's kinyanim that she was just doing it to make her husband happy. But not if the husband made two kinyanim and one of them she did support and the other one she didn't support. Then she loses the ability to say, oh, I'm just going to support whatever my husband does even though I don't really mean it. When it's only one lokeach, afilu Rav Meir moda, even Rav Meir would be moda that she's able to say nachas ruach hasisi umasnisin dekasav lala acher. And in our Mishnah is where it says that the chasima that she makes is binding is talking about where the husband was kasav la acher before he was kasav to this person, before he sold the field to this person, and she never supported that first sale. It's only this one that she supported. So that's how to make our Mishnah make sense, that a woman typically does have the ability to say Nachas Ruach Hasisi Lebaili. In our Mishnah she doesn't, because there must have been some previous deal that she didn't support her husband on, so we know that this woman doesn't operate with Nachas Ruach Hasisi Lebaili. Period. That's the end of that piece, of that stira, three terutzim. Now we move on. Tanan Hasan. Ain front min chasim shvadim makom sheish nechasim necharin vafilu ein ziburus. We know the general halacha is that if you're owed money by somebody, you're not allowed to go to people who have purchased fields from that person and be toref from the kulchos, take those fields away from people who have bought those fields when the person that owes you the money still has something to collect from. If he has nechasim necharin that you can go and collect from him, you have to collect from him even if they're low quality fields, even if it's ziburus and the fields that he has sold are Beinonis, and you're Balchovin, and Balchov is supposed to be able to collect from Beinonis, still, you have to take from the Ziburis, because Nechasim B'nei Charin always comes before Nechasim Mishubadim. But frankly, Gemara, what about the following? Iboilahu, Ishtadav B'nei Chari, Mao Delitrof Mimishabdi. What if the Nechasim B'nei Charin are there, but they've been flooded out, they've been destroyed, they've been ruined? Are you now allowed to go and collect from the Nechasim Mishubadim? So Gemara is going to bring two rayas. Raya number one, Tashema. Kasav l'rishon v'lo chasmalo, l'sheni v'chasmalo, ivduk subasa divra meir. We just quoted a Mishnah that if a woman writes, that if a husband sells a field to somebody and the woman does not support the sale, and then he sells a different field to somebody else, and the woman does support the sale, she loses the right to the ksuba because her support for that second sale makes it that she can't collect from the first guy, because the first guy could say, I left you room to collect from the second guy, and she can't collect from the second guy because she had supported the sale, so she had given up her rights to collect from the second guy. But if you're going to say whenever Nechasim Bnei Charin are ruined, are destroyed, you're allowed to go collect from Nechasim Mishabadim, so why can't she collect from the first guy? Instead, she cannot collect from the second guy because she made an agreement not to, but Marishon Miyatigvi, that agreement should be the equivalent of her of the Nechasim Bnei Charin being destroyed. I mean, what's the reason she can't collect from the first guy? Because the first guy will say, at the time that this field became mine, there was still Nechasim B'nei Charin there. I still left you the Nechasim B'nei Charin to collect from. And it was only later that it was sold to a second guy. Well, she can say, yeah, but that Nechasim B'nei Charin has since been ruined. How is it ruined? By her agreeing to never collect from it. So that was, in effect, ruining the Nechasim B'nei Charin. So if you're allowed to collect from Nechasim Mishubadim in a situation where the Nechasim B'nei Charin have been destroyed, she should be allowed to collect from the first party, from the first lokeach. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, my ivda, ivda misheni." Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, "Nah, in the chinami, maybe that's not a raya, because maybe when Rav Meir says ivda ksubasa, he doesn't really mean she loses the right to collect. It means she's only not allowed to collect from the second guy, but in the chinami, she's allowed to collect from the first guy because the nechasim b'nei charin, the field that went to the second guy, it's ki'ilu was ruined because she has agreed not to take from it." Rav says, no, that can't be a rejection to this raya, to say that ivda means ivda misheni, for two reasons. First of all, chada di ivda legamri mashma. First of all, ivda sounds like she loses out. If she's just going to take from the first guy, that's not called losing out. That's just, you're diverting her to somewhere else. Va'od, tanya lovam in ha'echad u'machar nechasav l'shnayim, v'kasav ba'alchov l'lokeach sheni, dinu dvarim ein li'imach, ein lo'alokeach rishon klum, m'nei shi'ach alom, r'inach l'ach machum l'gvosimenu. And we have an explicit price that you're not even allowed to go back to the first lokeach in that situation. You can't say that that's considered a place where the nechasim b'nei chorin have been ruined and you could therefore go back to the first lokeach. So don't tell me that ivda means just ivda misheni. So the Gemara says, no, but hasa, you still can't bring this as a raya. Again, what was the shaila? The shaila was, if I'm a balchov and I want to collect from nechasim mishubadim, but there still is nechasim necharin, it's just been destroyed, am I allowed to collect from the nechasim mishubadim? So we tried to bring a raya from our Mishnah where the woman agreed not to collect from lokeach sheni, so that's the equivalent of lokeach sheni, the b'nei charin being destroyed, and therefore, and we see she's not allowed to go and collect from the first lokeach. The Gemara says, no, it's not a good raya. Hasam iu da'afsid nafshi bi'adayim. The reason the guy is not allowed to go, the reason the woman is not allowed to go and collect from the first guy when she has agreed not to collect from the second guy, the reason that it's ivduk subasa is because she's the one that ruined it. She's the one that caused all the problems. She's the one that made the agreement not to collect from the other party. But in a situation where a field just got flooded out and it's no one's fault, and it's not the loss of the ability to collect from the chasim necharin is not the balchov's fault, so then maybe in a chinami the balchov can collect from the chasim shvadim. So don't prove to me from the case of the isha that when a field gets destroyed, you're not allowed to collect from the Nechasim Meshubadim. By the case of the Isha, she's the one that destroyed the field. She's the one that told the second Lokeach, I'm not, that supported the sale to the second Lokeach, and thereby was telling him that I'm not going to collect from you. But when it's not the Balchov's fault, maybe in a Chinami, he can collect from the Nechasim Meshubadim. So therefore, our first Raya is unsuccessful. So Gemara tries to bring another Raya. Again, what's the Halacha? If you want to collect money from the Nechasim Meshubadim, but there are Nechasim Necharin, it's just that the Nechasim Necharin have been ruined or destroyed in some way. Amalei Rav Yemer l'Ravashi, Rav Yemer says to Ravashi, what do you mean? V'maisim b'chol yom. This happens all the time. So the Gemara doesn't explain exactly what happens all the time. So Rashi writes, Maisim b'chol yom, didayanin danin dekivan deishtadif b'nechari, tarif mimeshabdi. All the time there are problems with property that was b'necharin, that's property that still belongs to the guy that owes you money, and the dayanim always allow you to go to nechasim mishabadim in that situation. That's what nechasim mishabadim are for. If there isn't ample field to collect from, or nechasim to collect from Balchov directly. So Dahu Gavre, after all, there was a guy, the Mishkan Pardes Lechavre Lesser Shnin, who gave his a mashkon, his pardes, for 10 years. He had an orchard that he gave for 10 years, and the deal was as follows. Rashi fills us in on the agreement. The agreement was Sheachlena Esra Shana Vitachsol Lebaylim Blom Maos. Let's say I borrowed $100 from somebody. I don't have any cash, but I have an orchard. So I tell him, this orchard normally will yield $10 of fruit a year. So you take it for 10 years, and you'll enjoy it for 10 years, and then you'll give it back to me, and you'll have been fully paid back after having it for 10 years. So that was the deal that they made. But then v'kash l'chamishnin. Then after 5 years, it dried up, and it wasn't producing anything. So now what's the halacha? Vasal kamayu d'rabbanan. They went to the rabbanan, v'kash l'etirfa. And he allowed this balchov to collect from nechasim mishubadim, meaning this fellow who had borrowed the money had since sold another field, and the guy was allowed to take from the lokeach. He was allowed to take it from the lokeach. Don't you see this is exactly a case where there's nechasim necharin, but ishtaduf, the nechasim necharin, have been destroyed, and you see you're allowed to go and collect from the nechasim mishubadim. So that's our raya, that it's maisim b'chol yom, that this is what dayanim do, and we had a specific maisa where this happened. So isn't this specific maisa a raya that when the nechasim necharin are destroyed, that one is allowed to collect from the nechasim mishubadim? So says Gemara, hasam nami inhu tav sidu anafshayu. No, in that case, it's the lokeach's fault. The lokeach should have thought of this. Meaning, when do we say that if there's still nechasim necharin, you're not allowed to collect from nechasim mishubadim? That's because the lokeach has every right to assume that as long as nechasim necharin are still there, you're going to use the nechasim necharin to pay up your chavos, and you're not going to send your creditors to him. But over here, the lokeach is partially at fault, because the lokeach should have realized that the pardes isn't going to produce for 10 years. He's the one that's mafsar anafshe. As Rashi points out, lokeach shalakach sadam yad zeh, shemashkin kerem zeh b'achrayis lo'ach l'yutshonim. He's the one that lost out, because he's the one that's his fault. Kivan daviyadi, the Gemara goes back to Kivan daviyadi, de pardesa avid dikish, lo'i b'ilul mizbet. He should have researched what all of the previous chavos of the person who's selling him this field are, and he should have realized that one of these chavos is relying on a 10-year yield from a pardes, when a pardes typically doesn't yield for 10 years. Very often, it's going to quit after 5 years and it's going to stop yielding anything valuable. So he should have realized that. Now, bottom line is, the halacha is, though, ishtaduf b'necharei tarfa mimishavdi. That even though we don't have a clear raya one way or the other, even absent a raya, the halacha is that if the nechasim b'necharein are ruined, you're allowed to go and collect from the nechasim mishubadim. So presumably, when we say the nechasim b'necharein are ruined, is because the nechasim b'necharein no longer have the value of the chov. So if they don't have the value of the chov, so it makes sense that that's what nechasim mishubadim are there for. They should be able to go to the lokeach and take from the nechasim mishubadim. Amar Abaye, new comment. Nichsay lach, and it is the next sugya on this stuff. Nichsay lach va'achrayach leploni. A guy gives to a penuya, Rashi tells us, to a single girl, nechasim, but he doesn't give it to her unconditionally. He says, I'm giving you these nechasim with the understanding that after you're done with them, meaning after you die, it will then go to so-and-so. And he earmarks where it's supposed to go after she's done with it. What if she does something in between? Before she dies, va'amda v'nises, she gets married. So normally when a woman gets married, her husband is like a lokeach. Her husband gains a certain level of ownership in whatever properties she has. So she went and she got married. Bal lokeach avi, ve'en lachrayich b'makom bal klum. The bal becomes the lokeach. And since the Baal becomes the Lokeach, the woman, the person who was designated to receive the fields afterwards, doesn't get them because it was already in the possession of the husband. It wasn't in the possession of this woman when she died. So the Rishonim raised the question. The Gemara in Bab Basra, in Daf Kufla Metesim Beis, says that whenever we say Baal Benichse Yishtos Kelokeach, that's only if it's not going to be a hefset to other people, if it's not going to be lost to other people. When it's going to be a hefset to Acherim, we say that a Baal is not like a Lokeach, a Baal is like a Yoresh. So over here, why are we treating the Baal like a lokeach, where he gets to keep the field, and not like a yoresh, if he's a lokeach? By definition, the acharayach, the one who is supposed to get after her, is losing out. So we shouldn't say that the baal is a lokeach. So that's a kasha that all of the rishonim ask over here in the sugya. The Tosfos suggests that the Tosfos over there, Maseches Bava Basra, suggests that when mekabel matana, since he didn't give any money for it, that's not called a hefsid, meaning the fact that the third party, the one who's supposed to get it after, is not going to get it, it's hard to call that a hefsid. He never paid for it. It was just something that was promised him in the future. That's a lack of revach, but it's not a hefsid. The Ramban in Maseches Bava Basra suggests that since that third party is only kona after the woman dies, it's not considered a hefsid, meaning he has no rights in it currently. It's only future rights. So it's not about whether he paid for it or not. It's that he never had a kinyan on it, so he never had any sort of ownership on it. The Ramban also says that since he was not kona right away, and she could still be motzi it from him, so that's not considered to be a hefsid. The other rishonim give other answers as well, that since a woman is omedesli nasei, So Barov Makamos, the Baal is didn't like a lokech. So the no saying didn't say that the Baal shouldn't be kona. So it was al das that the Baal can be kona. Maybe that he was giving it. So he was. It was understood originally in the original kinyan that that's the way it was going to work. So somewhere we have to say that the Baal has a din of a lokech over here. So the bottom line is this person who gets it after the wife is now not going to get it after the wife. So says Gemara, come on. Who are we assuming, like, when we say that the Baal is going to be like a lokech, and therefore the next party is not going to get this property? Ki aitana. We must be assuming, like Rav Shimon Gamliel, in the following brisa. Titania, we have a brisa as follows. Nechase laich va'achrayich leploni. Same case. A guy gives nechasim to a person and says, it's going to go to you, but after you, when you're done with it, it's going to go to ploni. But over here, Yarar Rishon Umachar. The first one went and sold the property. Hasheni Motzi Miyad Al Kuchos Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe holds, since it was originally earmarked for this third party, that third party can take it away from the Lukuchos. So that's clearly not what we were just saying. We're going against Rebbe. We were just saying that when the woman gets married, the Baal is a Lokech, and therefore the third party is not allowed to take it. The Baal gets to keep it. So we're assuming like Rebbe Shimon Gamliel. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ein L'Sheni El Mashashir Rishon. The second party, only that third party, that second person who it's supposed to go to after this woman, only gets whatever the woman still had in it when she died. But at the time that she died, she was already married. She was, or the lokeach, what the first guy still had in it when he died. What that first guy still had when he died was nothing because he had sold it already to a lokeach. So therefore, you get nothing. Does Abaye really assume, like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? It was Abaye who taught us this halacha with the woman, that you give it to the single girl and then it's supposed to go to someone else. Abaye is the one that said that once she gets married, it's the Baal is a lokech and you can't take it away from the Baal. So does Abaye really hold it, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? Vamar Abaye, didn't Abaye tell us? Ezuhu Rasha Arum. What's a deceitful Rasha? Zah Masi Eitza Limkar Binuchasim Kram Shum Gamliel. It's someone who gives Eitza to follow the Shita of Rav Shimon Gamliel. That's a Rasha. That's a Rasha Arum. The Rishonim point out it's a Rasha Arum. Rashi over here points out it's a Rasha Arum. The reason it's considered such a deceitful type of Rasha is because you're not even gaining anything from it. It's one thing to be a Rasha where you're going to gain, but to give Eitza to sell like Rav Shimon Gamliel, you're really not gaining anything from giving such Eitza. So that would be a Rasha Arum. The Levush writes in Chosh Mishpat that Kolshkein the Mocher Atzma was called a Rasha. If the one who's Matzi Eitza is called a Rasha, Kolshkein the Mocher himself. But the Rashbam says, no. The one who's Matzi Eitza is a Rasha Arum because he's Chote V'lo. He's doing this Avera and he doesn't even benefit from it. He doesn't even get any Tovas Hana. The Mocher Atzma, you're not going to call him Rasha. You understand why he's doing it. He's doing it because he's getting money for it. But it's still, you're not allowed to do it. It's still not the right thing to do. So the bottom line is, Gemara is asking, how can you say that Abaye holds that Rav Shimon Gamliel? Abaye holds that Rav Shimon Gamliel's shita is the definition of rishus. So says Gemara, mi kamar tinase, nisei's kamar. It doesn't say she should get married. It says if she gets married, that's what happens. Vamra Abaye says, vayter, nitzei laich v'achrayich l'poni, umachra. And instead of getting married, she just sells it. Umesa, and then she dies. Then a baal motzi miyad alakuchos. The husband can take it from whoever she sold it to, and then vachrayach miyad baal. And then the party who's supposed to get it after can take it away from the husband. That you're allowed to do because when Abai says ein lachrayach b'makom abal klum, that's only when it was given to her when she was a penuya. But over here, and she later got married. But over here, it was given to her when she was already in a suah. So it was understood that it was never going to go to the baal. The baal never became a lokeach. And then the lokeach miyad achrayach. Then the lokeach can take it back from the achrayach. So it should be l'chora chozeh chalila. But the Gemara doesn't say it's chozeh chalila. Umakvina l'kula biyad l'lokeach. We leave it all in the hands of the lokeach. So it says Gemara, Maishna mehaditana b'chozeh chalila at she'asub shar b'nehen. Why in our Mishnah when we had this kind of situation, we said it keeps going around and they have to come up with an agreement. And over here we say, okay, the buck stops here, it goes to the lokeach. Why the difference? It says Gemara, hasam islub seda l'kulu hacha lokeach hu dislub seda. In our Mishnah, everyone was losing money. Over here, only the lokeach is losing money. Everyone else was just a matana. It was just going to them for nothing. So the lokeach is the only one losing money, so we give it to the lokeach. Azul Rafram Amr l'shmei to kamed Ravashi. Rafram said this in front of Ravashi. Miyam Rabbi Yehachi v'am Rabbi Nechase Laich v'achrayich l'ploni. Amda v'niseis bal lokeach avi v'en achrayich b'makom bal klum. That the bal is lokeach and the achrayich doesn't get anything b'makom bal. Amlei hasam damalak she penuya, hacha damalak she nesua. Now it's the difference if you said it to her when she was single or when she was in nesua. My karmala, achrayich likni, balo likni. If you gave it to her when she's in nesua and you said, this is for you, and after you're done with it, it should go to Ploni, that's as if you're saying to her, and your husband has no kinyanim in it, because she had a husband at that time. But if she was a penuya, then the husband does get kinyanim in it. So the Mishnah concluded by saying, v'chein balchov, and also by an isha balaschov. So tana v'chein balchov, u'shnei lekuchos, v'chein isha balaschov, u'shnei lekuchos. When we say that you could have a situation of chosos chalila by a balchov and balaschov, it means as follows. A person lent $100 to his friend, and the guy had two fields that were each worth $50. And the lover sold the fields to two different lekuchos, and the malva told the second lokeach, dinu dvarim ein li yimach. So the halach is that the malva can go and collect the first field that's worth half his chov. Then the lokeach rishon can say, wait a second, he took from me, there I left the chasam rechor in the Lokeach Rishon, go take from the Lokeach Sheni, then the Malva can go to the Lokeach Rishon and say, okay, now I'll take that one too. And then the Lokeach Sheni could say, why are you taking that one? You're not supposed to take the field that belonged to me and take it from him, and it will be Chazus Chalila. So you could have that over there as well. And you could have the same thing by an Isha that whose husband was Chayiv Ksuba Masayim Zuz, and also with two fields, two Lokim, and the same situation where it's Chazus Chalila. Hadron Lach Misha Yinasi Bezashem, tomorrow we will begin the 11th parak of Maseches Ksuba. Good morning.